Hey, welcome to the NFL Conference Championship Review on the Shots at Near Very Cold NFL Podcast for January 26, 2026. I am Aaron Schatz, the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy, and he is Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We were comparing snowfall before we came on. I think I have more snow, and he has icier snow.
Yes, you have much more snow, but my back is currently on fire from trying to chip through ice like the ice climbers from Super Smash Bros.
We will we'll talk about the Patriots and Broncos a second, but I will say people were like, well, what if they had had this game in Foxborough? If they had had this game in Foxborough, it would have been snowing more and yes. For the entire game, guys. Like, it was all day yesterday.
It was a potential postponement if they had to have it in Foxborough, considering how bad the snowfall was all day.
But let's start with the much better game, which was the later game, Seahawks 31, Rams 27. A little surprising to some people that the Rams actually had the higher post-game win expectancy at 65%, but that's because they had more yards per play.
Yes.
They had 8.3 yards per play compared to just 6.1 for the Seahawks. Take out those two passes to Nacua at the end of the game, it's still 7.8. to 6.1, they were hitting all kinds of deep shots that nobody was hitting against the Seahawks all year.
Yes.
It was a fantastic quarterback game for both Stafford and Darnold. And Darnold exercises the ghosts, I think. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't win the Super Bowl, I think Darnold exercises the ghosts.
Exercises the ghosts, absolutely. One of the radio hosts I was talking to this morning claimed that Darnold outplayed Stafford. I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think that's the case either. I think Stafford outplayed Darnold. I think the game turned on the muff punt.
Yes.
Which is nothing Seattle did. Nothing for as much as Seattle has an advantage in special teams, they didn't force that guy to muff that punt. That was just a bad play by Xavier Smith. And it's a huge turnover. And the whole game turns on that.
Whole game turns on that. You also have the fourth and third down stops near the goal line by the Seahawks defense in the fourth quarter. And the fact that throughout the game, they got the Rams to settle for field goals after driving down the field, which is a credit to their defense. But it's hard to then turn around and say, well, that's on Stafford because he's getting the ball all the way down there, throwing the ball in the tight windows, trying to make those plays. He doesn't have those opportunities. Darnold has a couple of big plays in the red zone that helps him get the win.
Yeah, they both had good runs. I mean, the Kenneth Walker run for the first Seattle touchdown, Next Gen Stats said 7% chance of scoring at the time of the handoff.
Really?
Yeah, that was one heck of a run.
That's a Walker run. Like, it bounces all the way outside.
He does that all the time, right? Like, that's just his thing, is that he loses yardage or he bounces it outside and gets these crazy runs.
Right.
I'm glad that we are not having to have a debate this morning about taunting penalties.
Yes, because we don't like them, right?
Because I don't like them. But on one hand, I don't like it. And on the second hand, dude, that's the rule. Don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, when you're like dancing up the sidelines, kind of jawing in their general direction, my take on that is if it's got to be there, make the first one a warning.
Yeah.
The first one, and then the coach can take the dude aside and say warning, and both coaches warn everybody. Then if you do it again, you're like, okay, come on, man. You're not paying attention to the flow of the game. But that third and 12 in a playoff game, and that's what you call.
Yeah. It was a lot. That was a little crazy. The Rams looked really good. Like, after the not that good in the first two playoff games, the Rams looked really good. They just narrowly lost, but that was the Rams team that we knew and loved for most of the season, and Nacua was great, and Davante Adams was great, and they've used a lot more of the 13 and 12 personnel.
Yeah.
Finally, after not using that against Carolina and Chicago, and it worked really well.
Right.
And it just, in the end, the Seahawks were just a little bit better.
Muff punt, 1 of 7, I believe, on third downs.
Yep.
They cleaned it up with a couple of fourth downs along the way, but that was a little situational problem. It wasn't bad red zone because the field goals were like from the 24-yard line, but it was like bad red zone adjacent, like execution, and that forced them to settle for field goals, which ate up and wound up giving the Seahawks a chance to win.
And for people who don't know, I mean, the Rams have some cap space and they have two first round picks.
Yes.
They will be back. Stafford is not retiring. They will be back next year. Absolutely.
And McVay got mad when someone asked a Stafford retirement question in the press conference. And that was a bad question to ask in the press conference. Who thinks Stafford's retiring?
People asked him after the press conference. I don't know. Because he had the back problems at the beginning of the year. But, you know, I think there was a feeling that if Stafford won the Super Bowl, that he might go out on top.
Right.
But because he didn't, I can't imagine that he's going to retire.
MVP caliber season seemed like he was fine until the finger injury. The finger injury is manageable. He's under contract. They know that they can play games with his contract. I think he's back.
The Seahawks at this point are the sixth best team, including the playoffs by DVOA. We'll see what happens in the Super Bowl. If they have a good win in the Super Bowl, they can climb as high as fourth. Mm-hmm. If they lose in the Super Bowl, they'll drop.
Right.
Listen, all year long, I've been waving this flag saying the Seahawks are really, really historically good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've sort of been, you know, like I kind of won. Like they are really good. I think people now realize maybe they don't think of them as historically good.
Yeah.
But the reason they don't think of them historically good is something you pointed out in your column this morning.
Yeah.
Which is they're kind of boring.
Right.
There's no great personality on this team. There's no great player. There's no Jerry Rice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba had a fantastic season, but it's one season.
Yes.
And there's no Michael Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
There's no larger than life personality. There's not even a Michael Bennett.
There's no beast mode.
Yes.
Beast mode. There's no Legion of Boom. Richard Sherman out there pontificating after the game about what it all means. Love you, Richard. You have none of those things. You have this like sort of unassuming looking coach. You've got a quarterback we all make fun of. You've got a great receiver who isn't even like a weirdo like the other.
The only thing I know about JSN is he's kind of Christian.
Yeah. As is.
I don't know anything else about the guy's personality at all.
Right. That I'm sorry. That doesn't count as a personality in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, that's like 80% of the league.
Right. Sorry. Gotta be really Christian for it to count.
So, yeah, they're not. I don't think people understand how good the Seahawks are. Now, I mean, okay, the Patriots are also very good because if you wait things to the end of the year, remember, both the Seahawks and the Patriots lost in week one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A question from Trenchtown 2. Obviously, the Seahawks are the best team by DVOA that the Patriots have played this year. Who is the second best team the Patriots played this year?
Broncos?
And the answer is the Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. Okay.
Let's talk about the instant not classic. The Patriots 10, Broncos 7 game that was very difficult to see. I think I don't remember the weather report being that there was going to be a loss.
No.
I don't think they expected that it was going to be snowing sideways by the fourth quarter. Like, it was snowing a little bit in the third quarter. By the end of the third quarter, the Patriots were trying to hurry up so they could kick in that direction, and they missed it anyway. And then the fourth quarter was completely snowing sideways, and I don't think anybody expected that. So when people talk about the Sean Payton 4th-and-1 in the second quarter, and they're like, well, the weather got bad. Why didn't he take the points?
Right.
First of all, there's the argument that the weather getting bad is even more of a reason to go for a touchdown because you're not going to be able to score points once the weather gets bad. But second, I don't think anybody thought the weather was going to get that bad.
It's almost as if there's like a big mountain chain right nearby that could like suddenly impact weather. And I don't know if the weather report can get to the coach's headset in the second quarter. Like whatever he might find out at halftime, I can't imagine that in all the people talking in the coach's ear, it's like the Denver weatherman saying,
hey, somebody's like, by the way, there's snow and it's really close and it's more than we expected and you better score now. Like, I don't see that the guy who helps him on fourth downs is going to also know.
Right. Now, the fourth down decision, it was a go, I think, in most
models. Although, interestingly, Ben Baldwin's model had it as kick the field goal.
Interesting. Is he which one's account?
That's the running backs don't matter model. Yeah, but okay. There's two main models. Well, there's next gen stats models. So I guess there's three main models, but there's two that make all their decisions public. One is Ben Baldwin's model, and the other is the ESPN model. The ESPN model had it as a go for it.
But Ben had it as a kick it, which is a 50-50. The play was horrible.
I was totally fine with him going for it. And Sean Payton said after the game what he regretted was that they switched from a run to a pass.
Makes sense. Makes sense. That pass was horrendous, and you're putting more pressure on Stidham. And whatever confidence didn't seem to have in the first quarter was waning every time he threw the ball.
Yeah, and we said going into the game, the biggest difference between Stidham and Bo Nix was sack avoidance. And what was the biggest play of the game? Weird backwards pass slash sack thing where he panicked and gave the ball to the Patriots.
That's the game.
Yeah.
He gives the ball to the Patriots at the 12-yard line, and that's the game. And that's a backup quarterback who doesn't play. A backup quarterback who isn't out there. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not Jacoby Brissett. I'm not out there a lot. You know, I haven't played in 2 years. Pass rush comes. Suddenly, fight or flight reflex kicks in. That's the game.
It almost came down to the punters.
Yeah, because
the Patriots punter was bad.
Right. Well, I mean, he was punting into the swirling winds, but like the.
But even before the swirling winds, he was bad.
When they punted late in the, when the Broncos punted late in the game, it's like, oh, I get this. 4th and 6. They're not getting 6 yards anymore. Maybe they cause mayhem. First play, Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson fall over in the backfield. I was like, wow, the mayhem potential here is high. Barringer kicks a 32-yard punt out of bounds. That's when I looked at Peyton and said, okay, whatever you called him 4th and 1, call him 4th and 1. You're trying to run laterally and trying to run pass routes when you're on the fringe of field goal range. You almost should have been calling quarterback draws or whatever heavy jumbo you have. Just go forward. Nothing else is going to work. Go forward. See if you can get the ball to the 29, and maybe Lutz doesn't get the ball to kick blocked.
I know Stidham had that one read option run, but in general, I definitely felt like with Bo Nix healthy, Denver could have used the quarterback running game more, and that would have been good for them in that weather.
Exactly, exactly. And he might have gotten that first down on third, that set up 4th and 1.
And I also think that you cannot watch the craziness of the weather in the second half and feel like we learned that the Patriots are significantly better than the Broncos from that. Like, it was very random in the second half.
Yes.
Would have taken would be one slip or one fumble, and Denver would have won that game.
Right. And that's where playing with the lead helps, because you saw Vrabel, by the time the snow got bad, like, F this, it was just handoffs. We're going to handoff, punt, and we're going to limit chaos.
Yeah.
And that worked out.
So what is your first thought about Super Bowl 60?
Seahawks are going to win.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks are favored, certainly, and my numbers would favor them also. I ended up with the playoff odds report gives them about a 60% chance to win.
Okay.
I feel like it's a little bit more than that.
Right.
But the Patriots have a shot. We're not doing 2007 again here, right? Like, the Patriots are pretty good. They've definitely been better in the last few weeks. They did finally play somebody in the last couple games, and they beat them.
Yeah.
But the Seahawks are an all-time great team. The Seahawks are likely to win this game.
Going out there, doing what they did against a really excellent Rams team, destroying the 49ers. Yes, they were out of dudes, but let's talk about all the Patriots teams that they faced, et cetera, in terms of being out of dudes. I'll tell you this, though. I was on Vancouver radio. The mojo, the lump in the throat in Seattle area is real, that this is the Patriots again.
Yeah, I know. They're worried. They've been there before. The Patriots won the last one. That one was a closer 50-50 shot going into the game. And,
yeah,
that was. I mean, here's the one negative that I've found so far for Seattle. Darnold was not good against the blitz this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was 23rd in DVOA against the blitz. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots have brought out the blitz packages big time over the last few weeks. And they do have issues on the Seattle offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, that could be worrisome for Seattle. If the Patriots win, they likely it's because they blitz and cause turnovers. But Seattle is that defense is, I mean, listen, Drake May, MVP, great discussion. There's no question. He has not been as good in the last 3 weeks against these really good defenses. And here comes the best one he's faced so far.
Right. And I look like he was having trouble with noise, I think, early in the game yesterday, in addition to the defense, just as Stroud had trouble with noise the other way, the home field advantage. I'll say this again against the blitz. You often blitz because you can. You're facing the Texans without Nico Collins. You fear nobody back there. You can blitz. You are facing the Chargers with all of their problems, and they don't have great playmakers. You can blitz. You're facing the Jets. Ha, 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 whatever. You're facing Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but Rashid Shaheed, who you have to count for deep, is going to limit how much blitzing you're going to be comfortable doing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right guy for Carlton Davis to be on, but I would assume they're going to put Gonzalez on JSN.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to hide JSN all over the place, so they're going to try and get him inside. The guy you would cover Shaheed with would be Marcus Jones, speed on speed,
except that
you don't want to put Jones on the outside all the time.
He's much more of a slot corner. Right. So that's an interesting schematic question for the Patriots is how are they going to handle that? And, I mean, it is the good thing for the Patriots is the weakness of the Seattle offensive line is internal.
Mm-hmm.
And their best pass rushers are internal, which is Williams and Christian Barmore.
And Barmore, and you get them up the middle. Seahawks are going to try and counter that with all the play action, all the rollouts, all the little delay-type plays that they were running to get Kenneth Walker the ball, and they're going to test that interior line.
Hitchhiker's Pie says, the Seahawks are the 91 Washington team. Good but boring. I actually think that's a pretty good comparison. Not that they've been as good as 91 Washington. But also, I mean, this is really looking forward, but this doesn't feel to me like the start of a dynasty. This feels to me like a one-off, mm-hmm. and the 91 Washington was a really great one-off.
It was the end of a sort of pseudo, I mean, it was end of a dynasty-like thing. It was like Mark Rippon's the quarterback at that point, and Ernest Biner's the running back, but they had the infrastructure of the old dynasty.
Frazier Lamont says, Kubiak called a great passing game. The Seahawks seemed to run well on inside zone and were terrible on outside zone runs against the Rams, yet they kept going to outside runs. Does that reflect the Seahawks this season? I don't know with the numbers not in front of me. That's the kind of thing we'll break down for next week's show.
Right.
All the specifics. Operatic asks, historically, is there any correlation between the performance of West Coast teams in West Coast Super Bowls? I don't think so. No.
It seems unlikely. It seems like, remember,
you fly there a week before. There's plenty of time to get used to the time zone.
Right. Of all things, that would be the least likely situation. You've got a week off to rest and then travel. Yes.
And let's take a question about the coaching carousel. Mike Roosh says, what do you think of the Ravens' decision to fill their head coach vacancy by watching idly as the Steelers hired Mike McCarthy?
So, you're throwing shade at the Steelers and McCarthy, right? That's the joke.
I think so, because I mean the Ravens and Browns are still without coaches.
Ravens and Browns are still, but everyone's turning down the Browns. Bills are still without coaches, except there's Brian Daboll, and we're all just playing the silly game. McCarthy, can't help me.
I think, so the first reaction to McCarthy is, wow, this is so not like the Steelers. What you expected was they would sign some young defensive mind like Jesse Minter or Chris Shula.
Yeah.
Right? And Chris Shula is now available because the Rams are out.
Right.
And you were like, they'll bring in the young defensive mind who can coach there for 12 years. That's the guys they're going to look at. So McCarthy doesn't mean like make any sense. Like, I know he's from Pittsburgh. You don't hire coaches because they're from your
city. There's such a Pittsburgh mentality. He's the local guy. That's the level of Western Pennsylvania thought.
But it's not a Steelers mentality. It's not what the Steelers have done in the past.
No.
And so then people have been putting out these stats that, like, if you compare John Harbaugh to McCarthy, their career stats are very similar. The difference is, didn't the Ravens hire Minter? Yes, the Ravens hired Minter. Why? I had a brain freeze there. Yes, the Ravens
hired Minter. I'm mixed up here with the
Jesse Minter. Yes. Jesse Minter. Harbaugh's career went up, had a Super Bowl early, but then had those really great regular seasons near the end. McCarthy's career went down.
Yeah.
Like, all his success was early on.
Yes.
And there was that feeling in Green Bay that his offensive play calling got really stale.
Right. And it wasn't just Aaron Rodgers who was kind of like fed up with the guy as the years went on. And then you get to Dallas. And the thing about Tomlin is you always looked at the Tomlin team when they would win that close game and say, well, whatever else he does, they're prepared. They show up prepared. If you think of both the late era McCarthy Packers teams and all the McCarthy Cowboys teams, it's like, did they look prepared when they went to the playoff games and they would have these pratfalls, when they go on national TV and have these ridiculous, comical, bumbling performances. they look like an unprepared team. And you're taking a guy who's known for that level of detail and you're replacing him with a guy who seems to be like, hey, we don't sweat the small stuff here. It's a weird choice.
So, yes, the Ravens did hire Jesse Minter. And, yes, I really like that hire much more than the Steelers hiring McCarthy. And I think Chris Shula would have made more sense.
That's a combination. Minter is the combination of the Mike McDonald and the Vrabel. We bring back a guy who is similar to the coach we like, but maybe younger and less set in his ways, mixed with, well, McDonald did all of these things as part of this greater coaching family. Maybe Minter can do them well. So you can see the logic there.
Vrabel really does seem to be all the best parts of Belichick without the negatives.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like a surly old man. He's not surly with the press. He's much better with the press than Belichick was.
Right.
He doesn't seem to get angry with the players in the same way, but you've got the same we're all in this together feeling that Belichick had. Do your job. Like, Vrabel's turned out to be very good.
Right. You're seeing how a lot of these guys, both the rookies and all those free agents they brought in, they've responded to it.
So, yeah, that's what we've got. We've got Seahawks and Patriots. Athletic pointed out that by the preseason odds, this is probably the least likely Super Bowl of all time.
I thought that makes sense.
The Patriots were 80-1 and the Seahawks were 60-1 before the season. And that makes sense for this topsy-turvy, crazy year. Mm-hmm. Where the Panthers made the playoffs and were 25th and whatever in DVOA, and the Lions didn't make it and they were third.
And Mahomes disappears.
Disappeared. And this has just been a crazy year, and this Super Bowl kind of makes sense. And if this is a crazy topsy turvy year, the result should be the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. But the Seahawks are the better team and are rightly favored in this thing.
Yep. Agreed.
All right, that does it for today's show. We will be back next Monday. We're just going to do Monday shows now. Yes. We will be back next Monday to preview the Super Bowl with all the matchup breakdowns. Please join us at 11 a.m. Eastern next Monday. Mike is off to the Senior Bowl. He'll have Senior Bowl reporting. Please check his Substack for that. I'll have the pre-preview early stats up at FTN tomorrow. So for Mike Tenier, I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, everybody.